Let's go ahead and go before the Lord, pray God's blessing. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for this day and for Ed Medrano as, Lord, he brings your word forth today, Lord God. We pray that you would anoint him, that you would bless him, Lord God, that you would use him this morning, Lord, to touch our hearts and strengthen and encourage us, Lord God. Bless him even as he speaks and fill him up with your spirit, Lord God. Pour out your anointing here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning.
Wow, light crowd. Where's everybody at?
But that's okay, because God is good, amen? Okay, well, I just wanted to start off by saying, I know I haven't been up here in a while. Seems kind of funny, man. But, you know, that was due to my work. You know, this past year, we were just working tons of overtime. And like Bob knows, the auto industry is like a roller coaster. I mean, at the beginning of this year, we were working tons of overtime. And now, if you heard the news, my plant's slated to close. Isn't that crazy? And I know this last week, it was the last week before Christmas, I had scheduled that week for vacation for myself. Well, in that last week, my buddies that I work with, they were texting me, and one even called me to say, man, they're scheduling us to work 9 to 10 hours. I mean, what the heck? They're slating to close us, and then we're working overtime. You know, but that's just the way the auto factory is. But I just want to say, if you can go back to 2009, remember that big thing where the big three were going to go under? Obama was the president, and let me tell you, when that news came out that the big, almighty General Motors was about to close its doors, I shared it once before, the people were going nuts. What am I going to do? I got my house, I got my car, two cars, I got a boat, I got a cottage up north. What am I going to do, you know? Obama promised us this and he'll promise us that, you know? And I was just like, well, it is what it is, right? I mean, my faith isn't in General Motors, it's in God, you know? And I was telling some of my buddies, because they're like, aren't you afraid? I go, no. I go, I got the Lord. I got sub-in unemployment for a year. That gives me a chance to find something else if that's what the Lord's going to take me to. Well, lo and behold, when we got this news about our plant closing, again, the people were all frantic. Now, this is the second time in 10 years that this has happened. And the people were just bailing ship. They were putting in transfers all over the place. And I went to the pastors, and it was at one of the men's meetings. And Pastor John said, Eddie, is that one of your plants? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, what are you going to do? And I go, well, I got the option where I can transfer to Flint. But I don't know about you guys, but I do not want to drive 75 miles to work there and 75 miles back. Not to mention that Flint right now is working overtime. See, that plant's working overtime. They're closing ours. Isn't that crazy? But anyways, they're working 6 days a week, 8 to 10 hours a day. And I told, and Pastor John said, well, Eddie, you really need to get before the Lord and pray and see what he wants you to do. This is, you know, this is your livelihood. This is your career, you know. So I was praying and I was going back and forth. I had actually put in for Flint because that fear kind of came on me like, well, I don't want to be left out in the cold, you know. So I'll put in for Flint. And after I started praying about it and seeking the Lord on it, I thought, you know what, I can't go to Flint. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. If I go to Flint, you'd never see me. I mean, it's, right? It's 3 hours travel time, possibly 10 hours a day work time. That's 13 hours. That would cut me out of the men's meetings. That would cut me out of the home group. That would cut me out of church because I would figure by the time Sunday came, I need a day of rest, right? And I know how it goes, you know, when that work just gets you and it gets you and it gets you. You don't want to do nothing. You come home, you don't want to do anything. And I myself, this is just me, I believe that that can't be from God. That he would take you away from him, that he would take you away from his people. I just can't believe that. So thank God for Ray. He came over and he took my transfer out. Because my committee person said, now be careful. Whatever you put in for, make sure that's where you want to go. Because when they see what, if there's an opening, they're going to move you. So Ray came over, we put it in that week, and then the next week, I think Monday, Ray came over and we took it out. Well, it was only like 2 days later, some other employee went on the site and he said, hey, I put in for Warren, I put in for Romulus, and I put in for something in Missouri. He said, they're forcing me to go to Flint. How's that possible? Well, the committee person told them, well, because you put in for it back in November, they had already called your, you know, they had already like pulled his name without letting him know. And so now that poor guy's got to go to Flint. And I told Ray, I said, you see how God just protected me? Because I put it in the week before, and that Monday I took it out, and 2 days later, people were getting put, you know, whatever they put in for. So I just really feel that that was God again saving me, you know, because I really didn't want to make that trip to Flint. I mean, even though they were going to give me $30,000 to do that, it's not worth it, because I could hear my pastor in the back of my head, $30,000, 3 years, that's all. That's just gas money. You didn't gain anything, you know. But anyway, so I'm getting off the topic here. So what I wanted to say is the people that are all frantic and running around scared and don't know what to do, they're pulling their hair out, they have no faith. Their faith is in General Motors. You know, where we, our faith is in God. God is bigger than General Motors. He's bigger than Ford. He's bigger than Chrysler. He's bigger than us, right? He's the creator. He holds up the universe. We're just talking about a job. God will provide. Amen? So I just want you to know, I took my name out. I put in for Romulus, where Ray works. They're not hiring right now, but I'm just trusting in the Lord that when they settle the contract, a lot of times they offer the retirees, the people that got 30 or more years, they offer them a little buyout package so they'll leave. And so I'm praying, hoping, you keep that in your prayers as well for me, that when that happens, some people in Romulus will leave, and that'll, you know, I got a lot of seniority, so I'll go right in. So I just really believe that's God's plan. So when I thought about that, about us, those people lacking faith, I thought about us as Christians. Sometimes we lack, don't we? Depending on circumstances. I mean, right away I put in for Flint because I was afraid, I didn't want to get left with no job. See, to me, that was just a little lack of faith, you know. But after I got before the Lord and prayed for his wisdom, and the pastors were praying for me, I got reassured that this was the right, you know, I got strengthened in that area. So that, my topic for today is, in our weakness, God is our strength. Now, when I mention weakness, there's a lot of different things to talk about. We could talk about weakness in our beliefs, or we could talk about all the way to our physical strength, right? That's a big, broad area. But I prayed about it, and I really felt that the areas that God wanted me to touch on, because, you know, like I said, weakness is usually a sign of something we're lacking. And we can't be lacking in this world, amen? There's just too much going on. I don't know why I'm going on this subject, but it just popped in my head. But Pastor John was saying that, you know, the gay movement, that you see it everywhere, don't you? I see it on commercials now. There was a commercial of these two business guys, and they're leaving this babysitter. It's an AT&T commercial, if you can believe that. But they're leaving their kids to this babysitter who they don't know that well. And I didn't get it to the end, like, these guys are gay. You know, what? Now, why do you have to promote that on an AT&T commercial? Really? What does that got to do with that? Nothing, but they're just so prominent about throwing it out there. And I think Pastor John told me that the percentage of that is only like 3%. But yet they're blasting it to everybody to make it seem like it's okay. It's all right. And that's the way the world is. So I thought about this. If we have weaknesses in our areas, our vital areas that we need to keep us strong and keep us moving in the faith, We can't have those weaknesses, or we're not going to be effective. You know? We're just going to get that slow attitude that comes on us that says, oh, well, you know, a lot of churches are like that today. Well, you know, Jesus loves you just like you are. Come on in and, you know, whatever your issue is, and later on we'll work on that, but let's just get you in, you know? Which is fine, but I mean, we need to get on that issue now. We can't wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and let them bring that in. I mean, before you know it, you'll have a whole church of people like that. You can't have that. You know, it's our job to give them the truth, right? The truth will set you free, you know? So, I just thought I would cover these four topics. There's many that we could cover, but today I'm strained on time. I'm going to cover faith, obedience, courage, and strength. And by the way, I got a treat for you. I got four videos I'm going to show you. So if you got any popcorn, you know, I thought it was kind of cool myself. But anyways, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now keep that in mind. I'm going to read that again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now this first video is from the movie Star Wars. Any Star Wars fans out there? Okay. All right, this is the scene where, if you remember, Luke crashed on Yoda's planet, right? And he's teaching him how to float rocks and everything, right? He's trying to build. The way I look at it, like Pastor Don, if he was here, he'd be patting me on the shoulder because, you know, he teaches little rascals, Three Stooges. I figure I could throw Star Wars in there somewhere. But Yoda's trying to build his faith of the Force, right? So go ahead and show video number one, please.
We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you? Always with you, what cannot be done. Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No. Why not? Do. Or do not. There is no try. Size, do you? And where you should not.
You want the impossible.
I thought that was kind of cool myself. And all the things that I was going to talk about here were right in that video. Sometimes we feel that the problem's too big, right? You see how Luke tried. He said it's too big. You know, lifting a rock is one thing. Lifting a whole X-Wing fighter is something else. And Yoda said, no, the size doesn't matter, right? And that's like God telling us the problem, the size of the problem does not matter. Right? Because the minute we say and look at that problem and say, oh, we can't conquer that, what are we doing? We're putting limitations on God. Because it's God that's going to fight the fight for us. Right? He just wants us to be that symbolic symbol, whether it's witnessing for somebody, praying healing for somebody, going to the hospital and just finding a stranger and sharing your faith with them, right? God is the one that's going to lead us with his Holy Spirit. It's not us. He just wants us to be available. And in that video there, he was just trying to show Luke, look, you can do it. You have it within you to do it. You just have to believe. Because, see, that's what he said, right? Right at the end, he says, I don't believe it. And he told him, that's why you fail. Your faith is weak. And see, that's, we can't be in that position. If we're in that position where our faith is weak, what are we going to accomplish? You know, Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself, what? Cannot stand. So we either believe there is a God and that he's going to fight for us and take care of us, or we don't. The other scripture that I hated to mention, but it's there and I got to mention it, is what did he say if you're lukewarm? He's going to spit you out of his mouth. I don't know about you guys. I'm speaking for myself. When I get to heaven, I don't want to say, hey, Jesus, and him swallow me and spit me out. That's not what I'm looking for. Okay? I'm looking for a well done, good and faithful servant. You know? I mean, I'd even take a top of the head, but I definitely don't want to get spit out of his mouth. We either believe or we don't believe. And I remember going all the way back to the senior youth, babe, remember? We used to tell them, you know, you read these stories in this Bible, right? This is not Aesop's fables. When it said God split the Red Sea, he split the Red Sea. That's not a fairy tale, that's real. And I told the youth, you have to believe that is real. Because one day your faith is going to be tested. And you've got to be able to stand on your foundation. Right? And our foundation is there is a God. He created us. He had a son who died for us, for our sins, so that we have a chance to go to heaven. That's our faith. Like I've told this story many times about that guy when I was working at General Motors. He's real knowledgeable, kind of like Pastor Don. Reads thousands and thousands of books. He had so much knowledge. But somewhere in there, those wires got crossed. You know, when he told me, yeah, you remember the Star of Bethlehem? I go, oh, yeah. He goes, that was a spaceship. I'm like, what? I thought the guy was joking. I go, you're joking, right? He goes, no. That was Alpha Centauri. I'm like, I thought that was just lost in space, man. What do you mean? This is a grown man. Very knowledgeable. I told you, I was in the restroom, and he came up to me when I was washing my hands, and he goes, what are you going to do if you die and you find out there's no God? Well, see, my faith was being tested. And I was like Fred. I started thinking, oh, Holy Spirit, give me something to say. Give me something to say. And I told him. I said, okay, so if there is no God, what did I lose? That I lived a good life? I didn't go around swearing. I didn't get drunk. Didn't do drugs. Didn't cheat on my wife. Didn't beat my kids. But then I turned it around on him and I said, now what are you going to do if you die and there is a God? And for the first time ever in that, probably in that man's life, with all that knowledge he had nothing to say. And he walked away and he never talked to me again. But I wasn't trying to defeat him. I was trying to save him. You know, give him that other option because he was so dead sure that my option did not exist. And yet he read the Bible. I don't understand it. So anyways, in Hebrews 11:6 it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's our job, to earnestly seek the Lord. That's why the pastor's always pounding to us. Read your word, study it, read it, study it. Spend time with the Lord. Make that relationship special. Now, I also feel, now this is me personally, I also feel that when we see prayers being answered or healings and miracles, these things can really build my faith and our faith. And I got some examples. The first one is a couple stories here. I think it was the second time we went to Marty and Wendy's house when they lived in Dearborn. And, you know, we had the great meal, the great cake, by the way, Wendy. And we were just sitting down having coffee, and Wendy, I love Wendy. She always shares her heart. She said, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't say nothing to Cody. I'm like, oh, okay. And she goes, he came to me in private. And he said, Ma, I really felt like the Lord told me that Taylor's going to be my wife. I was like, hey, that's cool. Shoot high, brother. Shoot high. Shoot high. Well, so time goes on, right? Cody's life, Taylor's life. Well, if you remember, like I do, man, Taylor's life went this way, right? American Idol and all this stuff. And I never forgot what you told me, Wendy. And I'll be honest with you. I was like, wow, man, I don't know, man. Taylor becomes a movie star. I hope she still remembers me. But, again, prayer is being answered. There's living proof right there. Living proof that God answers prayers. No matter what the circumstance, right? Cody's faith was never deterred. No matter what he saw, it didn't matter. You know, kind of, oh, Roger's not here. Dang it. Kind of reminds me of David, right? He was blessed, wasn't he? Told he was going to be the next king of Israel. So now he's standing before a 9.5-foot giant who was a warrior all his life. And here is David just tending a sheep. He has a slingshot and a couple rocks. This guy has a helmet, a shield, a breastplate, a sword, a spear. But it says in the Bible, and I've read it 1,000 times, he didn't timidly walk down to meet him. He ran to meet him. Why? Because his faith was that much that he knew he wasn't going to die to this man. Because that would make God a liar. Because God promised him that he was going to be the next king. And I like the way he prepared him, right? Right? The lion and the bear killed him. Prepared him for battle. So, I don't know about you guys, but I go up to somebody that's 9.5 foot tall. I'll be like, ooh, I don't know, brother. It's been a long time. I don't know if I want any of that. David was a boy. He just ran to meet that. You know? That much faith, that much confidence is God. That's where we need to be. Another example is healings. Could I have you two stand up? Both of you. Turn around. Cancer, right? God healed him. God healed him. That's a miracle to me. A long time ago, Betty remembers she was there and during the incident, a miracle. This family that used to come to church here, their name were the Bates. And they had a pool in their yard, and their little girl somehow got out, got in the pool, and drowned. I mean, she was blue. Paramedics, no vitals. Took her to the hospital, worked on her the whole time. All the while, Betty, Steve, everybody she called in the church were all interceding like that. She's alive today. No brain damage, nothing. Now that is a miracle of God. Now that kind of stuff right there, that builds my faith. You know, because when I was young in the Lord, I remember I used to always tell Pastor John, you know what, Pastor John, it's not fair, man. They walked with Jesus, they blew it. You know, when the man was in trouble, they all took off. I'm out. You know? We didn't get that opportunity. And Pastor John said, Jesus said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I've seen miracles. I've seen miracles. So I didn't miss anything. You know? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We just have to rely on the Lord. That's our source. He's our strength. We're not going to get it anywhere else. Second topic, obedience. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, I'm going to show this second video. It's a scene from King of Kings. I love that movie. I watched that movie growing up all my life. I watched it the other day, and I still cried at the end. It always gets me, man. Just like Matt almost made me cry today when he was singing, man. Can't do that, brother, when I'm going to preach, all right? I don't want to come up here and start babbling. So anyways, this is the scene from King of Kings when Jesus goes into the garden. Garden of Gethsemane, right?
My Father. My Father. All things are possible to you. Take away this cup from me.
Very powerful there, eh? He knew what was coming, right? And he knew his Father could do all things. That's why he said, "If take this cup from me, man." That was a lot, man. That was a lot to bear. But I just love the way the Holy Spirit just totally engulfed him, right? Because like in everything Jesus did, if you read everything he did, who do you give the credit to? Right? So here, at probably the hardest moment in his life, right? Even though he's asking, can you take this cup from me? But then the Holy Spirit just totally engulfs him and he says, not my will, not what I want, but what you want. Because he wanted to please his Father. And that's how we have to be, right? I mean, he says it right there, if you love me, and obey my commands. That's why it's so important that we read our Bible so we know what God wants, what he expects, what's right and what's wrong. We can't guess that because sometimes our own opinions get in the way. But when we read the Word of God, it's God's Word. Amen? If we lack obedience, first of all, we don't really love God, do we? I mean, his word was pretty clear. Secondly, we are doing our own will instead of what God had in store for us. And when that happens, there's consequences to pay. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's something really important to remember. You know, I used to hear that so much growing up. Well, he was a good guy. Never cheated anybody, nothing like that. But was he saved? Well, no, he didn't go to church. There's plenty of good guys out there. I mean, but do you want a man like Pastor John trying to lead you to heaven? Or do you just want Chuck, who's a good guy, trying to lead you into heaven? I'll take my chances with Pastor John. Hands down, right? Because I know that man loves God. I know he sets his life down for God. He sets his life down for us because he loves God. Why? Because he's obedient to God. We have to have that same kind of mentality. You know? James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Like, I think it was Pastor Don said, what good is it to know the Bible forward and backwards if you don't use it? What good is that? But seriously, what good is it to know this Bible if you don't use it? Right? Jesus said what? Go into all the world and feed my sheep. Yeah, it's nice that we're obedient and know the word, but if we don't do anything with it, we're no good. Who knows what's best for us more than the Creator? Amen? He's the one that created us. John 14:23 says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And then, of course, we all know Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. That's God's plan for us. So why don't we trust him by doing what he wants for us? When we are obedient to God, we are blessed and we bless others. I got two more short stories here. When Ray Maldonado first came to the church, I remember he had that black hat with the straight brim. And he had his leather coat on, and he was like walking like this, you know, kind of like, don't come near me, don't touch me. Don't put hands on me, don't do anything. I'm here, but I'm here, and leave me alone. You know? And he had this stone face, right? And Donna and I were getting ready to leave, and she said, Eddie, God told me to give that man a word. I said, well, you need to be obedient and go share the word with the man. She goes, me? You tell him. I go, no, he gave you the word, not me. So she goes, well, will you come with me? I go, yeah, I'll come with you, but you're giving the word. So she went up there and she told Ray the word. You want me to share that, brother? She shared with him that she said, the Lord knows what you're going to do and don't do it, or something to that effect. And we walked away, and that was it. He said, thank you, and then we walked away. Well, I talked to Ray because I want to make sure I got this story straight. I didn't want to blaspheme up here, but he said it was like a week or two later, he started having these evil thoughts. And he thought possibly about taking his own life. And right then and there, that word that Donna gave him came back to him. And there's another living proof right there, right? How God works when we're obedient to what God wants us to do. That was hard for my wife. That was a strange man. Back then, man, Ray looked scary. You don't look scary no more, brother. You're like a big teddy bear now. But he looked rough back then. Another story was Donna and I were on vacation at Kings Island, and we had our kids, and so we were in the kiddie line to the little beastie, and there was a woman ahead of us, and she was with her daughter. And her daughter had this, like, big oxygen tank. And Donna, again, she's like, Eddie. I go, what? And she goes, the Lord's telling us that we need to pray for them. I'm like, what? She goes, the Lord's telling us we need to pray for them. I go, right here, the King's Island line. She goes, Eddie. I said, all right. So we go up to the lady. Donna starts talking to her. Come to find out that her daughter was dying. She had some kind of lung disease or something like that. And was it Make-A-Wish or something that sent them there? Yeah, Make-A-Wish. And Donna said, well, the Lord just told me to pray for you and your daughter. She says, well, please do. And we sat there right in line at Kings Island praying, you know? And, I mean, we don't know what happened, but, I mean, who you don't know, right? That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is just to be obedient to whatever God asks. So, again, you know, that was tough to be out in public praying in a kiddie line, you know? But we did, because we just wanted to be obedient to the Lord. My next topic is courage. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And now this video, before I show it, I'm going to warn you guys. It's from that movie, Hacksaw Ridge. Did you guys see that movie? It's when we were fighting Japan in Okinawa. There's a lot of bullet scenes, a couple guys getting shot in the head. So if you got a weak stomach, please keep your head down. You can listen. But I'm going to go ahead and show that video.
He's attacked Pearl Harbor. I took it personal.
He didn't even want a gun. He didn't want to take life. He wanted to save life.
Everyone I knew was on fire to join up, including me. There were two men in my hometown. Declared 4F unfit, they killed themselves because they couldn't serve. I had a job in a defense plant. I could have taken a deferment, but that ain't right. It isn't right that other men should fight and die, that I would just be sitting at home safe. I need to serve. I have the energy and the passion to serve as a medic. Right in the middle with the other guys, no less danger, just while everybody else is taking life, I'm gonna be saving it. World so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
Kind of hard to see because a lot of it was at night, but this is a true story. It's a true story. This guy's name was Doss, and they tried to kick him out of the army because he didn't want a weapon. He was a devout Christian. He didn't believe in taking life. He actually wanted to be a medic. He wanted to save life. And so they were on their way to kicking him out. His dad knew somebody up high up, and they let him stay. And when they went up on that, it was kind of like a cliff off a beach, and then up there was where they were hiding. And they had a big war up there. Well, they started retreating, and he could have left. You seen him on the ridge, and then you see his lips moving. He was actually starting to pray. And he said, God, just give me the strength to go back and save one soul. So he went, you seen him go back into the battle. Doesn't have a gun or nothing. He went back. He actually wound up, when he got to the edge of the cliff, he had to lower him by a rope. It was like a 75-foot climb. He saved 75 lives during that day and that night into the next day. And the soldiers down below, like, they go up to the thing and they see bodies there. They're like, where are these guys coming from? They kept taking them. They took 75 lives. He saved 75 men's lives. And every time he brought one, he'd say, Lord, give me the strength for one more. And he just kept doing that all night. And the Lord protected him. I mean, but what courage is that? You know, if you watch the whole movie, there was times where he almost got caught, you know, because the Japanese were still going around with their bayonets, stabbing guys to make sure they were dead and stuff, and he was walking among them. But I just think of David when he went into the cave and took Saul's sword. You know, God can protect you like that. He can make you invisible or whatever, you know. But the thing was, that took courage. Not only was he obedient, but he had the courage to do it and trust God in that, you know. If we have a lack of courage, then we allow fear to set in, right? And I'm so mad at myself. I know it's in the past, but for all those years, Carol tried to get me to go to Mexico. And I wouldn't share, not even with my wife, but, you know, I had a fear. I had a fear that if I went to Mexico, I wasn't coming back. You know, even though Elma says I'm not a Mexican. Can't speak it. I can eat it. But just that fear came over me. And finally, one day I came up here and apologized to the church. And I just felt like I was thwarting God's plan, which we never do, right? If we're not willing, God wants us to be willing to bless us and to strengthen us and to encourage us. But because I took that back seat and let fear take over, I missed out on that opportunity to probably witness to somebody or save somebody or like all they did. They all got blessed by it. So I'll never let fear take me over like that again, you know. But it did, and it can happen. You know, it was a weakness in me. And then when we're weak, we can't be effective for the Lord. You know, when we feel that coming on, we need to pray. In Psalms 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Only God can do that, right? Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that's what we need to do. We need to go to the Lord. Again, he's our source for all things. When we have the courage and confidence of the Lord, we can accomplish all things, right? There's no limits on God. And again, the will of the Lord will be done for us and others. Because sometimes God will use us, right, to minister to others. We're that go-between. And when we get scared, we lose courage, we can't be effective. I got two more stories, short ones. Again, Donna and I were on vacation. Boy, we just need to go on vacation all the time, man. God uses us. You know? We were driving. I shared this once before. We were driving on this two-lane road in Ohio, and this car just went zooming past us. Like, I mean, flying. And then we're just, you know, we were cruising too, and then, you know how they have those signs there? You know, sharp turn or whatever. Well, apparently somebody didn't see that sign too late. They knocked it down. So we didn't see the sign. So when that sharp turn came, we ourselves almost crashed. You know, it was just so sudden. And when we made the turn, we looked down in the ravine, and that car that passed us, they had crashed. The car was upside down, pinned against this fence that had the wires with the little, like, barbed wire in them. So right away, I just, you know, I thought, you know, I'm thinking these movies, right? Every time you see a car, it turns upside down, what happens? Boom! And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you sure you want me to go down there? So I ran down there, you know, I had to like climb over the fence, and I remember it being wedged behind me because I'm between the fence and the car, and I'm pulling the door open. Now, Elmer was with us, and we pulled this guy out, and I mean, he was screaming. Like the windshield had exploded and all the glass was in his face. It was in his eyes. He just had blood, like total blood. And he's screaming. And we dragged him up to the side of the road. And Donna jumped out of the car and she goes, Eddie, we just need to pray for him. And we started praying for this kid. And, I mean, the peace of God came upon him. He stopped screaming. He stopped crying. Even though he had all this blood on his face, Alma ran, like, right down the road. There was a house. They came out because they heard it. And they called the police, called the ambulance, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, when all was said and done, they took him. We went into town, and believe it or not, what are the chances of this? We went to a restaurant, we come out, and there was the kid. The kid was there, like him and his two buddies. It was two other guys. And he was normal. Like there was no glass in his eyes. I mean, he had some cuts and stuff, and he thanked us. He thanked us, you know. He says, I really thought I was going to die. I'm glad you were there, you know. I'm glad you prayed for me, you know. And so I just, my prayer was that he would get saved and, you know, move on with somebody else. But, you know, we've got to be able to stand in the gap, right, to get that done. Another one, real quick, was when we took the senior youth to Florida. That was tough. First of all, half the kids never flew before. It was so funny on that plane. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. They were so scared. They're all in their chairs like this. Like, I was thinking of the Apollo astronauts when they're going into space. But coming home, oh, man, we took over that plane, man. We were singing worship songs all through that plane. Some people were telling us to shut up, and the other ones were dancing. It was cool. But anyways, we got there, and we went to Disney, and they had to evangelize there. You know, we started off the first day. We gave them five tracks. Said, just go put these tracks anywhere where people see them. Don't throw them in the garbage, you know, blah, blah, blah. The next day, they had to pass out like three tracts, and then they had to actually give one to somebody and say something. And then the last day, because we did 3 days in Disney, the last day, They did two tracks, and they had to talk to two people. But and they did it. You know, it was rough, but they did it. And if some of you remember Kent Phillips, we hooked up with his church down there, and we did. They did a special dance for the church, so it was kind of cool. It was kind of a little fearful, but they did it. They did great. We came home. It was a successful trip. But just when you got the courage from God, you can do all things. Amen. Okay, last one, strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, this last video is a long one. It's 5.5 minutes. It's from the movie Facing the Giants. You remember the death crawl? Ronnie, you should know this, buddy. All right, go ahead, Sarah.
It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm not at the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Keep going. You keep going.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you? Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
That video is inspirational. Hold it together. That was awesome, wasn't it? I look at that coach as God, right? You can do it. You can do it. Just this much more. Just this more. Or I think of Pastor John when he's always trying to push us to go more. Because there's no limits on God. Amen? If we have a lack of strength, then more than likely we cannot effectively complete the task at hand that the Lord has willed for our life. And not only will this have a negative turnout for us, but it may affect others as well. We have to keep in mind that we are ambassadors of Christ. Wherever we go or whatever we say or whatever we do will have an impact on us as well as others around us, saved or unsaved. Remember, as Christians, we are leaders in this world. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." And this is one of my favorite scriptures. It used to be our youth scripture. Isaiah 40:29, 31 says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint." God is our strength. He is our source. Whatever we lack, He can fill. We just need to ask. We can't be ashamed of it. Like I was, you know, we just have to do it. The enemy won't want you to share that. Oh, you call yourself a Christian, and you can't even do this, or you can't even do that. He beats us down like that. But the Lord knew we were going to have weaknesses, right? Or then what was the sense in Jesus dying? He knew we were going to have weaknesses. If any of us finds ourselves lacking in any of these areas or others not mentioned, we need to pray and ask God to restore us. His word says in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you." When we go out every day and face the trials of the day, we want to be at our best, church, firing on all cylinders. Remember, we are ambassadors and leaders for Christ. And more importantly, others may be watching, which may lead them to salvation. Amen? Could I have the prayer team come up, please? So, I hope you enjoyed that. It was really inspirational doing that message. I know it inspired me. I hope it inspired you. Don't forget there's coffee and donuts upstairs. And God bless all of you. And I hope you have an awesome week. And don't forget, if you're lacking, ask. He will restore. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word today, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding me, Lord. Father, I pray that this word doesn't go out void, Lord God, that it would penetrate our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would take this word outside of here, Father, and apply it to our lives, that we would share it with others, Lord God. And Father, that we would just be that ambassador and leader that you want us to be, Father, not lacking in anything, Lord God. And we thank you for your mighty power upon us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And most of all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, Lord, that made that ultimate sacrifice for us, Lord God. We thank you, we love you, and we just want to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed day.